There are nearly 20 million college students in the United States. 40% will stop going to church during college. 50% will never return. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is seeking to meet this challenge through LCMSU. Why? Because 100% of college students matter to God and to His church. College is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help. LCMSU. Check us out at lcms.org/lcmsu.
We will remember these early travelers and draw strength from their example and hold firmly to the words of the prophet Isaiah. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength.
In their death, in which they willingly undertook death, they were testifying that there was a life that was laying underneath and all around their own demise.
The boy said, my name's Johnny, and it might be a sin, but I'll take your bet you're going to regret because I'm the best as ever been. Johnny,
the devil won because he trapped Johnny into sin, and he'll gladly pretend like he lost and give the stupid fiddle of gold because when Johnny dies, Johnny's going to hell.
Northern Illinois chainsaw drivers, love, issues, etc.
I look in the Old Testament and even a couple places in the New Testament, and I see these prophets running around. In fact, there's an awful lot of them in the Old Testament. There's a whole middle section through the history of God's people, especially after the time of the kings, when you've got your kings and you've got your prophets. And the prophets are, more often than not, saying things to the king that the king doesn't want to hear. The prophets aren't just there foretelling the future. They are, I guess you might call them, in a modern sense, preachers, but they're sent from God. Now, there's such a thing as a true prophet sent from God. And then God talks about false prophets, the ones who claim to be sent from God but aren't. Do we still have true prophets? Do we still have false prophets in the church today? Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. It's This Week in Pop American Christianity. Chris Roseborough of Fighting for the Faith is going to join us. We're going to talk about some self-proclaimed modern-day prophets. We will determine in the course of our conversation whether they are of the true variety or of the false variety. And after we do our review of This Week in Pop American Christianity, we will play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week, four sound bites that we've taken from this week's Issues Etc. audio. We'll play them for you, and then all you have to do is give us a call, send us an email, send us a tweet, or go to our Facebook fan page, and your vote will decide which will be Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. That's coming up in about 35 minutes here on Issues Etc. Our call-in number for the next hour, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at issuesetc. Our beloved on-demand listeners, feel free to use the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. Joining us for This Week in Pop American Christianity, we'll talk about some modern-day self-proclaimed prophets. Chris Roseborough, he's a pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and host of an internet daily talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back, Todd.
Before we get into these people who claim to be prophets today and we hear from them, what's a real prophet in the Bible?
Well, a real prophet in the Bible, a good way to describe many of them, not all of them, many of them, is that they are kind of like the prosecuting attorneys of the covenant, of the Mosaic covenant. And God literally comes to them and gives them a word from Him Himself. So they're speaking not their own words, but God's words. And they show up calling the people of Israel to repent of their idolatry and their injustice and to be forgiven for their sins and to be restored. This is God kind of sends them like the prosecuting attorneys, and oftentimes you see them show up in ancient Israel's history when Israel completely abandons God and chases after. In fact, oftentimes it's described as whoring after other gods, and God sends the prophets in a sense to beg and plead with them, to call them to repent, to be forgiven, to abandon these false deities, and once again return to the one true God. And oftentimes in their writings, you see, kind of these themes of repentance, forgiveness of sins, and many times they will give prophecies regarding the coming future Messiah. And so, kind of the spirit of prophecy, is about the gospel and about Jesus. And Jesus himself in the New Testament says that they testified about him. And so Jesus points out that Moses, who was kind of the first prophet, if you would, and all of the prophets testify about Christ. And so they serve a function in pointing us to Jesus, the Redeemer who would die for our sins. And some of their prophecies are just wonderfully explicit as to what Jesus would do. But Scripture also says, the prophet Daniel, in Daniel chapter 9, in the famous prophecy of the 70 weeks, which prophesies when Jesus would show up. In fact, if Jesus isn't the Messiah, then according to Daniel's prophecy in Daniel chapter 9, then nobody's the Messiah. There's nobody who can fulfill this prophecy today because of the time prophecy. But in that prophecy regarding the coming of the Messiah, it says that 70 weeks, this is not Daniel 9, chapter 24, 70 weeks are decreed about your people and your holy city to finish transgression, to put an end to sin, to atone for iniquity, does that sound familiar, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up both vision and prophet, and to anoint a most holy place. So along with that time prophecy, there is a prophecy that prophecy and vision would be sealed up after the time of the Messiah. And so Doug Judish, formerly of Concordia Fort Wayne, wrote a book about this, and I think he's spot on right that we are not to expect prophets today because prophecy and vision has kind of served their purpose in pointing us to the Messiah, and now that he's come, they have been sealed up.
False prophets in the Bible, what are they?
Well, false prophets, according to Scripture, are ones who basically take it upon themselves to proclaim themselves as prophets, but God has not sent them. A good place to kind of look at what false prophets are would be Jeremiah chapter 23, starting at verse 16. Here's what it says. Thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you, filling you with vain hopes. They speak visions of their own minds, not from the mouth of the Lord. They continually say to those who despise the word of the Lord, it shall be well with you, and to everyone who stubbornly follows his own heart, they say, no disaster shall come upon you. And so false prophets are those who run ahead without an actual call from God, not having received a real word from God, claiming to have received words from God, and be in communication with him, and basically they equate themselves with the prophets of the Old Testament.
Who are we going to hear from first here? Set this up for us, if you would, Chris.
Okay, the first person we're going to listen to is a woman who claims to be a prophet and have this, the gift of prophecy. Her name is Patricia King, and she heads up XP Media, which is based out of Phoenix, Arizona, and she recently convened a conference in Los Angeles at the Angelus Temple, which is a huge venue, called Women on the Front Lines, and during her plenary speech, she gave us some interesting insights as to what she claims that God the Holy Spirit had her do, and I'll let her explain it in her own words.
And over this last year, the Lord had me praying into a few things that was kind of strange in a way, like, I just hadn't prayed for these kind of things before. One of them was I was in Israel, about a year and a half ago or so, and there was a lot of, political turmoil, as there usually is in Israel, but this was pretty tense. The American warships were out in the water, and other nations were saying, we're going to help you. A lot of prophets were saying, it's the Third World War is on its way. A lot of, secular leaders were saying the same thing. And the Lord spoke to me in a hotel room in Galilee, and he said, I want you to stop the Third World War. The enemy has a plan to initiate a Third World War, and I don't want it. It's not my plan. Stop it. I thought, wow, I never even thought on that level before. I didn't think of, just rising up and stopping a third world war. I didn't even know really how to do that. I never thought of it before. You know, I have a prophetic level that is kind of God loves you with an everlasting love. He really, really does, you know. And what's this about stopping a third world war? And so I just I was clumsy in it, but with faith, you know, the faith that I had, I said, okay, in the name of Jesus, God says no third world war. You know, and I thought, well, hope that works, you know. And but just to get some reinforcements, I took my scriptures out and got some scripture decrees and contacted my friend Elijah, the Steve Schultz of the Elijah List, and put out a directive for people to come into agreement with, and also xpmedia.com, and sent it out and said, just agree and let's decree this together, no third world war. And within 72 hours, the whole thing was dissipated and it stopped. I thought, wow, that just felt kind of easy, you know.
Okay, Chris, apparently we were on the brink of a third world war and she stopped it.
Yeah, in fact, I'm thinking, I on my program, I kind of said that maybe we need to send her a fruit basket and thank her for stopping World War III. But then I realized what we really need to do is actually nominate her for the Nobel Peace Prize. I mean, this is patently absurd that what we're hearing here. And what I will point out is that this venue is packed. We're talking thousands of women from across the country and the world. Yeah, came to Los Angeles to hear her speak, and not only did they not leave, they actually believed what she was saying. I mean, they actually ate all this up, and these are these same people who believe that God spoke to her and that she stopped World War III would deny that Christ is bodily present in the Lord's Supper, or that baptism is efficacious and all this kind of stuff, and yet she claims to be a prophetess. She has a prophetic level that she has received, and so what are we to make of this? Well, if Daniel's right that prophecy and vision have been sealed up since the Christ's fulfillment of the 70 weeks, and we're not to be expecting prophets today, and this would explain why prophecy and vision died out after the time of the apostles. But what she's saying here, it doesn't jive with God's word. Her claims are outrageous. She actually pastors a church online when Scripture says women are not to hold the pastoral office. I mean, there's no reason to believe that she's actually a prophet of God, and yet Patricia King is not considered part of the lunatic fringe. She's really kind of moved her way into the center of evangelicalism, and there are literally tens of thousands of people around the world who think that this woman truly is hearing from God.
If I, you know, took a trip, I recently was in Chicago, and I came and I said, hey, last night God told me that there was going to be a civil war in the United States. We were on the brink of it, and then he told me to stop it, and so I did. I just decreed it, and I got some people to agree with me, and I decreed it, and that's why you guys are all living in peace today, because I stopped the next civil war in the United States. No one would believe me. Why do people believe this? About a minute here before our break.
That's a tough question to answer, and the answer I would give is that I think what we're seeing is the rise of false doctrine in a way that in Thessalonians, Paul writes about the fact that because people didn't love the truth, God sends a strong delusion so that they'll believe a lie. The reality of the situation is that somebody has got to be so spiritually blind and deluded to believe that somebody like Patricia King really stopped World War III. And I mean, this is the kind of thing that even pagans can look at and say, that is patently absurd, this is ridiculous. And yet, Christians, somebody says, oh, I have a message from God, and all of a sudden they suspend their disbelief, they suspend any kind of biblical discernment, and they buy into what these people are saying, hook, line, and sinker. I mean, this is the kind of thing that makes me wonder if this is not, because that people are believing something so absurd, if God has not sent a delusion and caused them to believe such nonsense.
Chris Roseborough is our guest. It's This Week in Pop American Christianity on this Friday afternoon, March the 13th. We're talking about some self-proclaimed modern-day prophets. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc.
our school is committed to authentic Lutheranism, the entire Book of Concord, and indeed to authentic Lutheranism as it has continued to be confessed and practiced through the centuries right up into our own time.
Dr. Cameron McKenzie, chairman of the Department of Historical Theology at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
We're committed then to biblical, confessional Christianity and Lutheranism and applying it to the world of today in as effective a way as we can.
You can find out more about studying for the pastoral ministry at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, at ctsfw.edu, ctsfw.edu, or call 1-800-481-2155, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Theology for blue collar, white collar, and clerical collar. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Grace Lutheran, Tulsa, Oklahoma. Heritage Lutheran, Valparaiso, Indiana. Mount Olive Lutheran, Duluth, Minnesota. Our Savior's Lutheran, Windham, Minnesota. St. John's Lutheran, Algoma, Wisconsin. Our Savior Lutheran, Ridgecrest, California. St. Mary's Lutheran, Des Moines, Iowa. St. John Lutheran, Yuma, Colorado. Christ Lutheran, Kansas City, Missouri, and Redeemer Lutheran, Lincoln, Nebraska. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Issuesetc.org, click support, the Issues Etc. 300.
When you empower judges to engage in that kind of jurisprudence, you give up Republican government. You abandon democracy.
It's like hiding the penicillin for a child in applesauce. The hope is that if we can get you to come and learn about parenting, we're going to sneak in a couple little references to a form of the gospel.
These are the actions of a guy who's basically been handed a reprogrammed bully Terminator and is just rejoicing in being able to unleash it on the kind of people that he thinks are guilty of bullying him.
People either accept it and support the idea of dehydrating people to death or they don't. And what we found out is that quite a few people in this country think it's perfectly acceptable to make somebody die slowly over 2 weeks because they have a serious brain injury.
In about 20 minutes, we'll play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. We'll play those four soundbites in their entirety, and then it will be your opportunity to vote and to pick which one will be Issues Etc. soundbite of the week by giving us a call, sending us an email, a tweet, or going to our Facebook fan page. And we'll be giving away the LPR bundle package to the listener with the best vote in about 20 minutes. It's an Issues, I Have Issues t-shirt, an Issues Etc. travel mug, pen, bumper sticker, mouse pad, and notepad. In the meantime, it's This Week in Pop American Christianity. We're talking about some modern-day prophets, or so they claim. Chris Roseborough, Fighting for the Faith, is our guest. Chris, next we're going to hear from another female evangelist, Patrice Fluitt. What should we be listening for?
Yeah, Clarice Fluitt works with Patricia King, and what we're going to be listening here is she's going to read a verse from Isaiah and basically use it as a springboard into what's called prophetic singing, and she's going to supposedly manifest the gift of tongues, which is not actually what it is that she's doing there. And we need to listen carefully because partway through she's like channeling the Holy Spirit and speaking as if God is speaking directly through her, and it'd be interesting what she says.
I want to encourage you today to understand there's a scripture that I wanted to read to you in Isaiah 49. Listen to this. It says, "For the Lord God hath called me from my mother's womb, from the bowels of my mother hath he made mention of my name. And he hath made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand hath he hid me. And he's made me a polished shaft. In his quiver hath he hid me. You are a weapon of righteousness in the hand of a mighty God. Summon the fountains of the deep. In the name that is above everything that has a name, you have come into this house that you may stand in his stead." God says, now this is the day that you choose to be led. Oh, Father, let the mantles fall upon me. Let the things that I see stand to your feet and just agree with God that you're no longer just an ordinary lump of sod. You have been created for such a time as this. God says, don't come before me with an endless prayer list, but begin to decree and declare and proclaim. All God's power has been given in Jesus' holy name. Stir your most holy faith and agree with the truth and open up your mouth and let your rivers turn loose. We are in a holy place. We're in a holy place.
Well, Chris, I mean, she's got some talent, but is she hearing from God?
No, in fact, one of the things she said there about, you know, basically speaking for God, don't come to me with, you know, a list of things that you need, but start decreeing and declaring, that theology right there should have clued everybody in that what she was speaking was not actually from God, the Holy Spirit. And I would cite none other than Jesus Christ as an authority on this, because Jesus himself says, when you pray, say, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then there's petitions. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. So even Jesus, when he taught us to pray, gave us a list of petitions, if you would, to bring before God. And so what she said about prayer cannot be from God the Holy Spirit, because it directly contradicts Jesus. The other thing is that manifestation of tongues, that wasn't an actual language. That was just flat-out gibberish. And God's word forbids there to be somebody in church speaking in a tongue without an interpreter. And so, I mean, she has run so far afoul of God's word that anybody with just a little bit of biblical discernment and knowledge should have been able to spot her for what she was, not a prophetess, but as somebody who was a false prophet, somebody whom Jesus warned us about in the Olivet Discourse. In fact, Jesus, in talking about the end days, he doesn't say there's going to be a proliferation or a growth of true prophets, but that there's going to be false Christs, false prophets, false teachers running around the landscape to deceive, if possible, the way Jesus said, even the elect. And this is an example of just flat-out false prophecy that contradicts God's word and shows that this person isn't really speaking for God, but is in fact doing the work of the devil.
What I noticed there in her, it was a kind of a, she started with a Bible passage, and I think she was talking about herself. You know, I read that passage, beautiful passage from Isaiah, as Christ speaking, but I think she was talking about herself. But then this seamless transition into her own stuff, from the Bible into her own stuff. It was actually rather remarkable, chilling, but remarkable.
Yeah, in fact, that technique where you start with the Bible verse and then move on to the other thing seamlessly, Pastor Brian Wolfmuller calls that the heresy two-step. I think it was developed in Texas. And so the idea is the first step is to read a biblical passage, and then you shimmy to the right or shimmy to the left off the passage and just segue into your own thing. And she clearly has that step down perfectly.
What's next? What's the next example we're going to have here? This one comes from, boy, this guy's been around for a long time, from the International House of Prayer.
Yeah, we're going to be listening to Mike Bickle from a sermon he delivered about 2 weeks ago. And just listen to what he's doing. He's going to supposedly be talking about Zechariah chapter 3, but claiming that he has received a direct vision from God that gives us insight into this passage that's supposed to release a blessing for the people at IHOP.
Zechariah chapter 3. It's a passage that's known, well known to a number of you, but to some of you it might be new, and so I'll describe it a little bit to you. And why Zechariah chapter 3 this morning? Well, last Tuesday, so about a week ago, I had a very powerful prophetic dream, and in this dream, the truth of Zechariah chapter 3 was emphasized, that the Lord wants to release this blessing upon this spiritual family. And the message of Zechariah 3 is that the Lord wants to silence the voice of the accuser in the lives of his people. Because the voice of accusation, the accuser, hinders the blessing of God in a number of ways. So Zechariah 3, the bottom line takeaway message, the Lord has promised blessing. He's promised to break in his grace in the lives of his people. He's ordained a destiny for every believer and then collectively for spiritual families. But the enemy comes to hinder that blessing, to interrupt it, to distract us from it. Well, in this dream last Tuesday, I was speaking over various ones in the congregation here, and I was saying, in the name of Jesus, I take authority over Satan. I cancel the assignment of Satan, was the idea of the prayer. And I was sitting around a fellowship table with different ones in the congregation. And as I'm praying this, you know, in the dream, I'm extending my hand and saying, in the name of Jesus, I take authority over this. And so it's about 2 o'clock in the morning, and I wake up, and now I'm not in the dream, but my hand is extended, and I'm finishing the sentence awake that I started in the dream.
Can you explain that? Take that apart for us, if you would.
Yeah, now notice what he's doing there. He says he wants to tell you about Zechariah 3, but that because he had this direct vision from God, this dream, that he now has a special insight into this passage that no scholarly biblical exegete would ever actually agree with. But see, since he received it via this vision that he had, and he's just beginning to warm up, you know, the people to kind of give more of the details of the vision, that because of the special insight into Zechariah chapter 3 that he was given prophetically, that now he's going to be able to release a special blessing for the people at IHOP that clearly is not available for any Lutheran church. So, I mean, the congregation you're serving there in Illinois, yeah, they don't have access to this blessing because they're not under the prophet there at IHOP. But anybody who's put themselves under this prophet, Mike Bickle, they're going to be able to have this blessing released from Zechariah chapter 3 because God had given him this insight. It's a fascinating template. And so the idea here is that the prophets, they're, you know, these so-called prophets, they're basically claiming to be able to release special blessings and special insight into God's word that nobody else has access to because they are able to receive this via direct revelation from God. So what you have in your Bible just isn't enough, and it doesn't matter if you know Hebrew or Greek or you have access to good scholarly commentaries and what the church has said about these texts in the past. No, God is revealing new things and giving special blessings regarding these passages that you can only access through people who have these prophetic gifts, or they claim to have these gifts today.
Let's take a break. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about Mike Bickle here, because he actually is part of a bigger thing that fits, that this conversation fits into, the modern day apostles and prophets movement, a belief, he's not the only one, that God is establishing new apostles in the world and a whole new set of prophets as well. I don't know what's leading to, but we'll find out. Chris Rose will give us some insight to that on the other side of this break. He's pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota. He hosts a daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. A few more minutes with him, and then we're going to play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week.
Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, email, Google+. Simple ways that you can share Issues Etc. programs with your friends, relatives, and fellow parishioners. Just go to Listen on Demand Archives at issuesetc.org and look for the share feature images posted beneath each audio segment. You're only one click away from telling someone about Issues Etc. The Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org and look for Share This.
At Redeemer Lutheran Church in Fort Wayne, we are mostly looked down upon by cool people. They're always telling us that we take ourselves too seriously. That, apparently, is the uncoolest thing on the planet. We are theological nerds. We get more incensed by bad exegesis than a group of comic book fans who find out the hero was just dreaming. Some people want us to calm down, but we aren't going to. Redeemer, Fort Wayne, haven for theological nerds.
Bethany Lutheran College is pleased to sponsor Issues Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio. Bethany Lutheran College is located in the picturesque river town of Mankato, Minnesota, and is committed to making Christian higher education affordable for all with generous financial aid packages available. At Bethany, you'll find stimulating academic programs, a friendly atmosphere, and opportunities to grow both in intellect and in your faith, all within the framework of a supportive Christian environment. For more information, visit us on the web at blc.edu.
In Hosea 4, we read, "My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge." At the CLCC, we educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Christians would if they learned what we believe, teach, and confess. Visit our website at theclcc.org. See what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us and encourage your pastors to hold an event in your area. For more information, go to theclcc.org.
Luther had Wartburg. We have Collinsville. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The thing that really is wonderful is to be able to read them as the witnesses that they are to the saving gospel of Christ.
Pastor Will Whedon, on his presentation at this summer's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, making the case for a Lutheran approach to the Church Fathers.
To deburden them from infallibility. Nobody believes they're infallible. Everybody agrees that there are things in them that they don't agree with. But the reading of the Fathers itself can be a huge help and light. If people have walked the terrain you walked before and made a map, it might be worthwhile to consult it before you head out in the same terrain. And in that way, their work through the Scriptures has been most beneficial to the Church across time.
You can meet and hear Will Whedon June 19th and 20th at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference in Collinsville, Illinois. For more information, just look for the Making the Case logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, or call 618-223-8385. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week is coming up here in a few minutes. We're concluding a conversation on This Week in Pop American Christianity with Chris Roseborough of Fighting for the Faith. Chris, I wanted to ask you, since you brought up Mike Bickle before, the International House of Prayer in Kansas City. He is part of, or at least he was until recently, part of, what are they called? The Kansas City Prophets, and there's a whole movement there of 24/7 prayer that is supposed to usher in a new, whole new set of worldwide apostles, just like Peter and James and John, and worldwide prophets. Tell us about it.
Yeah, it's kind of a sister movement to the New Apostolic Reformation, and so what IHOP is known for, International House of Prayer, not pancakes, but prayer, is this 24/7 prayer that they're doing. And you know, this is something that apparently God told Bickle to set up and do, and there's IHOPs that are kind of popping up around the globe, so that there's prayer around the clock, around the globe, you know, all the time, and this is supposed to kind of create the power base, if you would, for the rise of new apostles and prophets and the Kansas City Prophets, where, you know, there's going to be this revival and kind of third Pentecost is a good way to talk about it, Pentecostal movement and an outpouring of God's Spirit that will draw the nations to Christ in this huge revival that's supposed to crash over the earth with these new apostles and prophets. And this is actually kind of locked up in their eschatology, because they believe kind of in a charismatic post-millennialism, is it maybe a good way to talk about it, but this idea that Christ can't return until the bride has made herself holy and has really kind of, in a sense, conquered the world through this outbreak and outpouring of revival where everybody just comes streaming into the church. And so this is all part of what they're trying to bring about there at IHOP, as well as in sister movements like the New Apostolic Reformation or the Dominionist movement, which talk about the Seven Mountains mandates and taking over the world by conquering the Seven Mountains. All of this is kind of wrapped up in that.
Chris, before we let you go, what are you going to be discussing in about a half hour from now on Fighting for the Faith?
we're going to remind people of the not talked about doctrine within the Word of Faith heresy that where the major players like Kenneth Copeland, Joyce Meyer, and others have in the past talked about the fact that they believe and teach that we are little gods. They don't talk about that anymore, but it's actually the assumed doctrine within the Word of Faith heresy.
You can listen to Chris Roseborough and Fighting for the Faith right after the live broadcast of Issues Etc. today at piratechristianradio.com, piratechristianradio.com. Chris Roseborough is pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and host of the internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, thank you very much.
Thank you, Todd.